昆塔之音，服务源于聆听。各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早上好。今天是2020年10月3号，星期六。我们非常荣幸的邀请到敬爱的萨迦·德瓦帕布为我们讲述今天的早课。感谢大家的聆听。Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna. Good morning to all the devotees in China. Happy Saturday.
Hare Krishna， 中国的奉献者们，大家早上好，祝大家星期六快乐。
Yeah, I thank you. You had a big party this week.Now it's back to normal routine.
我想大家这周应该已经玩得很开心了，所以现在的话呢，又要回到平常的例行事务中了。
Life is very interesting.
生活真的是非常有趣的。
Experience is always changing.
因为我们的体验总是不断的在改变。
But the experience never changes and is always the same.
但是的话，体验的那个我，体验的那个人总是不变的。
Okay, so we're going to continue with our Bhagavad Gita class. We're still on chapter 1.
我们今天继续《博迦梵歌》第一章的学习。
And I think we have questions left from last week.
应该上周是有问题剩下吧？Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so today I wanted to read verse 13, maybe 14, 15, and their purports, and then we'll take questions.
所以我们今天一起来阅读第一章的第13、14和15十节及其要旨，然后的话我们就来回答问题。
So I'll chant Jayarada Madhava, and then we'll get right to verse 13.
现在我就来唱 Jayarada Madhava， 然后就立刻进入到十三十节。
Jayarada Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jayarada MadhavaKunjabi Adi Gopi Jana Balaba Girivana Dari Gopi Jana Balaba Girivana Dari Yasoda Nandana Bhaja Jana RajanaYasoda Nandana Braja Jana Rajana Yamuna Tira Vamachari Yamuna Tira Vamachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi HariGopi Jana Balava Girivana Dari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Rajana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Rajana Yamuna Tira VanachariJaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Nitai Gopinanda Hari Hari Bol. So chapter 1 is a description of the battle and the situation who's present in the battle and all theJust the situation that's leading up to Arjuna's feeling bewildered and needing to ask Krishna to become a spiritual master to advise him.
所以说最第一章的整个一个描述就是在谈论整个这个序幕，整个就是在战场上的一种状况，并且是怎样的一种状态导致使得这个故事进展到Arjuna 他感到非常的这种迷茫困惑，然后并且请求 Krishna 成为他的灵性导师来给予他指导的这样一个场景，这个故事的。
Yeah, so up until this point in the story, Duryodhana, who's the current king, or actually his father's the king, but he's the prince, he's sizing up both armies and comparing his army to the Pandavas' army.
所以说到目前为止，故事就进展到杜尤丹他的父亲就是当时的国王，然后杜尔丹他就是在比较他的那边的军队以及敌军，就是潘大宝五兄弟的军队。
And from you could say from a material point of view, Duryodhana's army appears to be the most powerful.
从物质的角度来看，杜尤丹的这个军队看上去是更加厉害的。
Because you have grandfather Bhishma, who is the most powerful fighter and most senior person on the battlefield.
因为在他的那边有老祖父 Bhishma, 是当时就是最最厉害、最强大的，也是最年长的战士和这个库鲁族家里面的这个人的存在在他的那一边。
So he's the senior general, you know.In charge of Duryodhana's army.
因此他真的是最资深、最年长的将军，在调遣着杜尤丹他那边的军队。
And then also you have Dronacharya, who's the teacher of all the other fighters, and he's the most, you know, he's the most powerful. He's also the most one of the most powerful warriors.
而并且他那边还有 Dronacharya. Dronacharya 是这双方的将士的老师，就他一个人，然后并且他也是最为强大的战士之一。
So just like before a fight, you know, the fighter wants to psych himself up and convince himself that yes, we can win.
然后所以这就是在所有的战斗之前，士兵的话呢，然后或者是任何一个要上战场的人，他们都首先要振奋士气，就是要以这种振奋自己的精神，然后去真正的对自己说，是我会赢的，我会打赢这场战争的。
Yeah, so Duryodhana, he's trying to psych himself up, and he's also trying to psych up, you know, all the other soldiers in his army.
因此杜尤丹他也想要振奋他自己的士气，以及振奋他那边所有士兵将领的士气。
Yeah, so right at the peak of you could say Duryodhana's encouraging words, Bhishma Dev blows his conch shell.
因此就在杜尤丹他说出他的振奋人心的那些话语到达那个巅峰的时候，毕士马老祖父就吹响了海螺。
And then everyone on Duryodhana's side, all the warriors began to blow their conch shells.
然后的话呢，他那一边所有的那些将领战士们，然后也是跟随着毕士马老祖父一起吹响了海螺。
That's text 13.
而这就是第十三诗节的内容。
Yeah, after Bhishma blows his conch shell, after that, the conch shells, drums, bugles, trumpets, and horns were all suddenly sounded, and the combined sound was tumultuous.
然后就在 Bhishma 老祖父吹起海螺的时候，顷刻之间，海螺声声，鼓声一片，号角齐鸣，喧嚣异常。
And so now, it's time for Arjuna and the Pandavas, and especially Lord Krishna, to respond.
然后于是到这一刻的时候，也就到了Arjuna 潘道五兄弟以及主 Krishna 他们对此做出反应了。
And so then now it's their turn to psych themselves up and to psych out the other side.
所以说到这一刻的时候，就是他们这一边开始要振奋自己的士气，然后并且去打击对方的士气了，对方的精神了。
So let's read text 14 and the purport.
我们一起来读一下14节及其要旨，及其对要旨。
On the other side, both Lord Krishna and Arjuna stationed on a great chariot drawn by white horses sounded their transcendental conch shells.
在另一边，在有几匹白马拉着的巨大战车上，幸运女神之夫就 Krishna 和 Arjuna 安坐其上，也吹响了超然的海螺。
Purport. In contrast with the conch shell blown by Bhishma Dev, the conch shells in the hands of Krishna and Arjuna are described as transcendental.
要旨，跟 Bhishma 所吹的海螺截然不同， Krishna 和 Arjuna 手中的海螺被形容为超然的。
The sounding of the transcendental conch shells indicated that there was no hope of victory for the others.
这超然的海螺表明敌方取胜无望。
Can you hear me?
Gurumaj, now I can hear you. I just heard that, I just said that the first sentence, that they had no hope of winning.
Okay, this means... Oh, I see. In English, I think this sentence is longer. The sounding of their transcendental conch shells indicated that there was no hope of victory for the other side because Krishna was on the side.Did you translate that?
I will catch up with this. Yeah, 这超人的海螺表明敌方取胜无望，因为 Krishna 在潘达瓦五兄弟这边。
And then there's Jayastu Pandu Putranam Yesham Pakshe Janardana. Victory is always with persons like the sons of Pandu because Lord Krishna is associated with them.
胜利永远属于像潘杜珠子那样的人，因为主 Krishna 与他们同在。
And whenever and wherever the Lord is present, the goddess of fortune is also there, because the goddess of fortune never lives alone without her husband.
而且无论主在何时何地出现，幸运女神也同时出现，因为幸运女神是永远不会离开丈夫而独处的。
Therefore, victory and fortune were awaiting Arjuna, as indicated by the transcendental sound produced by the conch shell of Vishnu, or Lord Krishna.
因此，胜利和幸运在等待着 Arjuna, 正如主 Vishnu 即主 Krishna 的海螺所发出的超然声音显示的一样。
Besides that, the chariot on which both the friends were seated had been donated.By Agni, the fire god, to Arjuna, and this indicated that this chariot was capable of conquering all sides wherever it was drawn over the three worlds.
另外，这两位朋友所乘的战车乃是火神 Agni 赠送给 Arjuna 的，这就表明这辆战车踏遍三个世界，所向披靡，攻无不克。
So, just a quick takeaway from this verse and purport is that even though from the material point of view it appeared that the Kurus were, or the Duryodhana's army was superior to the Pandava's army, that's just from the material point of view.
所以说我们迅速来总结一下，可以从这个诗节和要旨中学到一些什么，那就是即便从物质的层面来看，库鲁那边，也就是 Duryodhana 那边，看上去是要比潘达瓦五兄弟这一边的战斗力是更强更厉害的，而这是从一个物质的层面来看。
Yeah, so it's just like, you know, when we analyze the material world, it appears that you know, atoms and everything is moving. It's hard to understand the source of the power or where things have come from.
Where things come from. Okay, the source. Guman, you mentioned atoms?
Well, yeah, I mean, atoms are moving, right? Molecules are moving.
Okay.
Yeah. And they all have a force, they all have the power. But, you know, if you're looking from the outside, you just see the form, you don't see the power.
I see, okay. 所以说我们如果去分析这个物质世界的话呢，就会看到，那么即便所有的这些，比如说像各种颗粒啊、分子啊、原子啊等等，那么它们是在不断的这个运动着的，不断的这个运动着，然后从外界来看，它们是有力量，因为在运动嘛。但是的话呢，就是我们看得到这些形式，却看不到它的这个源头，就是这些东西，它之所以能够有这个势头、有力量，原因是什么呢？它的这个源头是什么呢？
Yeah, so the material energy, just objectively looking at it, it looks very powerful, but there's a hidden power that's really the source of that power.
Hidden power. 所以说的话呢，从这个客观的角度来看，我们看到就是说这个物质世界当中的各种物质，它是有力量的。在运行着，在运作着，在运动着，但是的话呢，实际上它是却有一个隐蔽的、隐藏的力量的源头，是我们看不到的。
And that power is the source of power, Krishna, God.
而这隐蔽的力量的源头，也就是万源之源 Krishna 了。
And so this is indicated when Arjuna and Krishna blew their conch shells, because their conch shells, the sound is said to be transcendental.
而这一点就由Arjuna 和 Krishna 他们俩共同吹响海螺的时候，在这个书里记载，就是吹响了超然的海螺。那么这一点所显示出来的。
Alright, so when Bhishma Dev blew his conch shell, it's not described as transcendental.
在前一世节中 ，Bhishma 老祖父他吹响海螺的时候，却并没有用超然这个字眼来形容他的这个海螺声。
Yeah, so this is indicating that Krishna and Arjuna's power is beyond the laws of this material world.
因此的话呢，这就是在显示出 Krishna 和 Arjuna 他们俩的力量是超越了这个物质世界的规律法则的。
And when everyone heard Lord Krishna's conch shell, they understood that this is the source of power. This is who's going to win the battle.
因此当任何一个人听到主 Krishna 的海螺声的时候，他们就会立刻明白，这才是力量的源头。然后这一边 Krishna 的他那边，然后才会取得胜利。
Even though you know from the material perspective, Duryodhana's army seems to be more powerful than Arjuna's army.
即便就是从物质的角度来看，杜尤丹军队看上去要比 Arjuna 的军队要更加的强大。
We also have to remember that Krishna promised not to fight. He's just driving the chariot for Arjuna.
而同时我们还要记住一点，那就是 Krishna 他并没有承诺要去作战，他只是答应 Arjuna 来做他的这个车夫。
Also, they're on a very special chariot that was given to Arjuna by the fire god Agni.
并且他们俩所乘坐的战车也是非常特殊的，是战神阿格尼送给阿朱娜的。
And so that chariot was empowered by Agni Dev to be able to conquer wherever it went.
因此的话呢，这辆战车就是被火神阿格尼所赋予了力量，能得以去征服这辆战车所到达的任何一个地方。
And now, we're going to read text 15 and purport, which is going to describe more, or in more detail, the transcendental nature of Krishna's conch shell and the conch shells of his devotees.
嗯，然后我们接下来就来阅读十五世节及其要旨，我们就能看到，在这里的话呢，有更进一步的、有更多细节的来描述 Krishna 的海螺的超然，以及他的奉献者的超然。
Lord Krishna blew his conch shell called Panchajanya. Arjuna blew his, the Devadatta, and Bhima, the ferocious eater and performer of Herculean tasks.Blew his terrific conch shell called Poundra.
译文：感官之主 Krishna 吹起他的 Panchajaya 海螺，财富的征服者 Arjuna 吹响了神赐海螺 Devadatta， 那位战功显赫、食量过人的 Bhima 也吹响了他那摄人心魄的 Poundra 海螺。
This conch shell of Krishna is also the same conch shell for Lord Vishnu.
嗯，而在这里提到的 Krishna 的这个海螺也是主 Vishnu 的海螺。
Just like when I was just recent in Japan, the Bhagavatam class were reading about the incarnation of Vamanadeva.
嗯 ，Vamana 来，嗯。
Uh-huh.
嗯，所以说在最近我给日本的奉献者所上的博加瓦谈的早课当中，然后就谈到了 Vamanadeva 的他的化身。
Yeah, and he was when he revealed his form as Lord Vishnu, he was holding a conch shell and it was named Panchajanya.
He revealed himself as Lord Vishnu, huh?
嗯哼。
哦，然后 Vamanadeva 他就揭示他自己。他把他就是作为主 Vishnu 的这个形象接展示出了他自己，然后此时的话呢，他的手里面所握的这个海螺就被称为 Panchajanya.
You see, Vamanadeva appeared as a small Brahmin boy with three legs.
嗯 ，Vamanadeva 他当时的这个形象就是一个小这个婆罗门小男孩，然后有三条腿。
And he appeared, He incarnated in order to protect the demigods and get the kingdom of heaven back from the demons headed by Bali Maharaj.
然后他当时的化身显现就是为了保护诞生人们，然后并且把从 Bali Maharaj 那里所这个掌管的天堂星球就是所夺回来。
Yeah, so Bali Maharaj had conquered heaven.
嗯，因为 Bali Maharaj 是征服了整个这个天国的。
Yeah, so all the demigods they had to leave heaven, and the demons took over.
嗯，由此的话呢，所有的半生人就不得不离开天堂星球，然后恶魔们就进驻了。
So Lord Vishnu appeared as Vamanadeva, who was a small five-year-old boy who was a Brahmin who had three legs.
于是主 Vishnu 他就显现为一个小男孩，是个婆罗门的小男孩，然后并且有三条腿。
Yeah, he's one of the ten incarnations of Vishnu that's mentioned in by Jayadev, who wrote the Das Avatar Stotra.
Das Avatar Sutra.
Stotra.
Stotra song. Okay, his name is Jayadev, right?
Yeah.
然后而这个 Vamana, 他的这个形象哈，就是这个三条腿的小婆罗门男孩的这个形象，是主 Vishnu 的十个化身之一。然后主 Vishnu 的这些化身的描述，是由 Jayadev 在他的书在这个一本著作叫《Dasa Avatar Stotra》当中所记载的。这个 Stotra 的意思就是指歌曲。
I was just looking for it real quick. Well, anyway, so Vamanadeva, he asked, as a Brahmins usually beg land or jewelry or some sort of donation from kings, and kings are obligated, even the demons are obligated to give the Brahmins some charity.
所以说的话，有这样一个就是说是习俗或者叫社会规则，那就是婆罗门会去向国王祈求得到一些土地，得到一些珠宝，总之就是得到一些布施。而国王的话呢，是有义务、有责任要去给予这样的布施的。因此的话呢，即便当时是恶魔们掌管的天国，但他们也是必须得给予供奉、给予这个布施的。
Yes, so Vamanadeva begged for 3 steps of land because he had 3 legs.
于是的话 ，Vamanadeva 就向当时这个掌控天堂星球的恶魔们提出请求，就是他说他要求3步的这个土地，他走3步的土地，因为他有3条腿。
Yeah, and so actually, Bali Maharaj, he was, even though he was born in the family of demons, he was actually a devotee.Because he's the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj.
而 Bali Maharaj 虽然他出生在一个恶魔的家庭，但是的话呢，他却是一位奉献者，因为他是 Prahlad Maharaj 的外甥孙子。
So Bali Maharaj's spiritual master Sukracharya, he understood that Vamanadeva was Lord Vishnu, and he had appeared.They are just to cheat the demons.
而Bali Maharaj 的灵性导师 Sukracharya, 他知道这个显现出来的三条腿的小男孩 Vamanadeva 是这个主 Vishnu 的化身，然后他化身成那个样子是为了欺骗那一群恶魔们。
So he told Bali Maharaj, "Don't give Vamanadeva 3 steps of land because he's actually Lord Vishnu, and he'll take away."He'll take everything from you.
于是的话呢，然后他的灵性导师就对巴里马哈拉吉就说：“你不要去答应他的那个要求，不要给他这个三步路的这个土地，因为这个他是主维斯努本人呐、啊，然后他会把你所有的东西，所有的一切都给你拿走的。”
But Bali Maharaj actually he wanted to surrender to Lord Vishnu, so he agreed to give Vamanadeva 3 steps of land.
而巴里马哈拉吉由于他真的是想要去臣服于主维斯努的，然后于是他就答应了，他答应了要把三步路的这个土地给予Vamanadeva.
Yeah, so Vamanadeva, with his first step, he touched the edge of the top of the universe that exists beyond Brahma Loka.
Brahma Loka. 然后于是在第一步。Vamanadeva 他就触碰到了他的脚，就是触碰到了这个宇宙顶部的边缘，而这个宇宙顶部的边缘甚至都超过了 Brahma Loka.
And with his other step, he touched the bottom of the universe.
然后他的另一脚步呢，就触碰到了宇宙的底部。
So in 2 steps, he covered the whole universe.
然后所以说他就用两步路，然后就把整个宇宙都给涵盖了。
And he also exhibited a universal form that everyone could see.
并且他还展示出了一个宇宙形体，然后所有人都能够亲眼看到他的宇宙形象。
And he also assumed the form of Lord Vishnu, where he was holding the conch shell called Panchajanya.
然后他当时也展现出了主 Vishnu 的形象，然后 Vishnu 的手里握着一个海螺，那个海螺就叫 Panchajaya 海螺。
Yeah, so, and then on the third step, he placed it on, he said, where should I put my third step? And Bali Maharaj told him, you can put it on my head.
然后当他要开始迈出第三步的时候，然后他就问Bali Maharaj, 就说我这一步要踏在哪儿呢？然后巴里马拉吉就回答到说：“你可以踏在我的头上。”
Yeah, so this incarnation of Lord Vishnu as the fifth incarnation, and he's mentioned and glorified in Jayadev Goswami's song called Sri Das Avatar Stotra.
因此的话呢，主 Vishnu 的这个形象被称作是五个化身，然后就在这个 Jayadev 所写的 Das Avatar Stotra 当中所写到、所描述到，并且被荣耀赞美。
Yeah, so Das means ten avatars.
Das 的意思就是十的意思，说整个就是十个化身。
So oftentimes you'll see relief work of these ten incarnations that they're usually inscribed around the deity doors of temples.
The relief work.
Yeah, it's like a picture, but it's in stone, right?
Okay, I see. 而我们往往都可以在这个庙里面的神像的这个门上面看到，就是这十个化身被雕刻在那个门上。对，就是那种石雕艺术。
I know Janaka probably in Wuhan, in his temple room, he has these ten incarnations that go around the deity doors.
我知道这是武汉的加纳卡帕布，他的这个庙里，他的那个庙里面的房间，然后就在神像的四周，然后就有这个十个化身，然后就围着那个十个化身一一的排列开来。
So anyway, so Jayadev Goswami, he writes, Chalayasi Vikramane Balam Adbhuta Vamana.Paranaka Nirajinita Janapavana Keshava Drita Vamana Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare. Okay, so back to the purport.
好，我们现在来看的要旨。
So let's just read the verse again and then we'll read the purport.
我们现在再来先读一下译文师姐，然后再来读要旨。
Lord Krishna blew his conch shell called Panchajanya. Arjuna blew his Devadatta. And Bhima, the ferocious eater and performer of Herculean tasks, blew his terrific conch shell called Pandra.
感官之主 Krishna 吹起他的 Panchajaya 海螺，财富的征服者 Arjuna 吹响了神赐海螺 Devadatta。那位战功显赫、食量过人的兵马也吹响了他那摄人心魄的 Pandra 海螺。
Purport. Lord Krishna is referred to as Hrishikesh in this verse because he is the owner of all senses.
要旨，在这节诗的梵文诗节里，主 Krishna 被称为 Hrishikesh， 即是感官之主的意思。
The living entities are part and parcel of him, and therefore, the senses of the living entities are also part and parcel of his senses.
生物体全是他不可缺少的所属部分，因而生物体的感官也是他的感官的所属部分。
The impersonalist cannot account for the senses of the living entities, and therefore, they are always anxious to describe all living entities as senseless or impersonal.
非人格神主义者无法解释生物的感官，他们总是喜欢把生物说成是没有感官的或非人格的。
The Lord, situated in the hearts of all living entities, directs their senses.
主寓居于所有生物的心里，指导着生物体的感官。
But he directs in terms of the surrender of the living entity, and in the case of a pure devotee, he directly controls the senses.
然而主指导的程度全视乎生物体对他臣服的程度而定，对于纯粹的奉献者来说，主会直接控制他的感官。
Here on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the Lord directly controls the transcendental senses of Arjuna, and thus his particular name of Hrishikesha.
在库鲁之野战场上，圣主直接控制着 Arjuna 的超然感官，因此 因此主被称为 Rishikeshi, 感官之主。
The Lord has different names according to his different activities.
根据不同的活动，主就有不同的名字。
For example, his name is Madhusudana because he killed the demon of the name Madhu, and his name is Govinda because he gives pleasure to the cows and the senses. His name is Vasudeva because he appeared as the son of Vasudeva. His name is Devaki Nandana.Because he accepted Devaki as his mother. His name is Yasoda Nandana. Because he awarded his childhood pastimes to Soda at Vrindavan. His name is Partha Sarathi. Because he worked as charioteer of his friend Arjuna.、
嗯、例如他杀死了名叫马杜的恶魔，因此被称为 Madhusudana。马杜魔的徒者，他赐予母牛和感官快乐，因此又叫 Govinda。他降生为 Vasudeva 之子，故得到 Vasudeva 之名。他接受 Devaki 为母亲，所以主又叫做 Devaki， Devaki 的喜悦 Devaki Nandana。他把在 Vrindavan 的逍遥时光赐给了 Yashoda， 所以主的名字又叫 Yashoda 的喜悦，也就是 Yashoda Nandana。他为朋友 Arjuna 驾车，故得名 Arjuna 的战车御者。Partha Sarathi.、
Similarly, his name is Rishikesha because he gave direction to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra.
同样，主又名叫 Rishikesha, 感官之主，因为他曾在库鲁之野指导 Arjuna.
Arjuna is referred to as Dhananjaya in this verse because he helped his brother, as he helped his elder brother in fetching wealth when it was required by the king to make expenditures for different sacrifices.
在这节诗中， Arjuna 被称为财富的征服者 Dhananjaya， 因为每当他的长兄 Yudhisthira 王要举行献祭时，他就帮他的长兄筹集费用。
Sorry. Okay.Similarly, Bhima is known as Vrikodara because he could eat as voraciously as he could perform Herculean tasks, such as killing the demon Hidimba.
同样 ,Bhima 又叫做食量无比者 Vrikodara, 因为他食量大得惊人，就像他能行人所不能之事一样，如杀死恶魔Hidimba.
So these are all stories in the Mahabharata that they occurred before the battle of Kurukshetra.
这些提到的都是 Mahabharata 当中的故事，是在库鲁之野战场战争之前发生的故事。
So if you want to know more about these stories, you have to read Mahabharata.
所以如果大家就对这些故事想要了解更多的话呢，就需要去阅读 Mahabharata 了。
So the particular types of conch shell blown by the different personalities on the side of the Pandavas, beginning with the lords, were all very encouraging to the fighting soldiers.
于是潘杜珠子这一方从主开始，将你们各自吹响自己独特的海螺，极大的鼓舞着三军将士。
On the other side, there was no such credits, nor the presence of Lord Krishna, the supreme director,nor that of the goddess of fortune.
而在另一方则没有这种荣耀，既无至高无上的指挥官主 Krishna， 也无幸运女神与他们同在。
So they were predestined to lose the battle, and that was the message announced by the sounds of the conch shells.
因此他们注定要吃败仗，而这就是海螺之声所发出的信号。
So the main thing we need to take away from this verse and the verse that's going to come next is that just by hearing these conch shells, the transcendental conch shell of Krishna and his devotees, it became clear to everyone that the Pandavas were going to win.
所以说我们从这个诗节和要旨以及下一个诗节当中所能获得的一个要点就是通过就是 由 Krishna 和他的奉献者们所吹奏出来的这些超然的海螺的声音，然后当人们听到这些声音的时候，就自然就很清楚的就知道潘大瓦五兄弟的这一边肯定是会赢得胜利的。
Yeah, because Krishna is on the side of the Pandavas.
因为 Krishna 是在潘大瓦五兄弟这一边的。
And he's the supreme lord, he's the supreme controller.
他是至尊之主，他是至尊的控制者。
And he's not only the source of life or consciousness, he's the source of everyone's senses.
并且他不仅是万源之源，是所有人所有生命所有知觉的源头，并且他也是所有人的感官的源头。
Yeah, so this is very interesting, and it's something that we can directly experience and ponder.
所以这一点真的是挺有趣的，是我们每个人可以直接去体验并且去沉思一下的。
Because we're part of Krishna and he's sentient, we're also sentient.
Sentient means conscious, right?
Conscious, but we're not only conscious, but we're conscious of sound, we're conscious of sight, we're conscious of touch. Sentient.
Sentient. Let me have a look. Everyone is sentient. Okay. Oh, okay. 有感知力的 perception. The person、
yeah.
have the ability to perceive.
Yeah. Yeah, sense perception.
I see. 所以说由于我们是 Krishna 的一部分，由于我们能够去有感知能力，就是一种有感知能力的生命，我们是有感知能力的生命，我们能够去感知到五种感官，触觉、嗅觉、味觉、触觉，然后听觉。那么同样的 Krishna 作为我们的源头的话呢，他也是有感知能力的。
Yeah, so we are sentient because the source of ourself is sentient.
而我们之所以有感知能力，是因为我们的源头 Krishna 是有感知能力的。
Yeah, so nothing is impersonal.
所以就没有任何事物是非人格的。
And so, yeah, it's interesting to ponder because, you know, when we see, it's not actually the eye or the ear or the sense of touch that's perceiving.
It's not these things perceiving. It's actually Krishna's perceiving.
No, I mean, when we see,something, it's not the eye that's seeing. Just like if you use a telescope, right? It's not the telescope that's seeing. It's the person, the consciousness that's seeing.
Okay, I see. 所以说的话呢，这一点倒是挺有趣的，就是当我们去看的时候，并不是我们的眼睛在看到，就像我们如果是使用望远镜来观看某个东西的话，并不是望远镜本身能看到那个东西的，然后因此的话呢，是在这个所有感官之下的那个知觉，那个生命是在这个感受到所有的这些感官的。
Yeah, and I can't see what you see.
并且我是不能看到你所看到的东西的。
Or at least I don't see exactly what you see because you're seeing it from your particular point of experiencing.
或者说叫做我无法确切的看到，就是我看到的东西和你看到的东西并不是确切的一样的，因为我是无法站在你所体验的那个特定的角度来看到或者是体验到这一切的。
But the power of our seeing, the power of our hearing, the power of our consciousness that perceives is coming from a greater source, Krishna.
Greater source. 而我们能够去看的力量，能够去听的力量，以及这个能够去感知一切的这个知觉的力量，是来自于一个更伟大的源头，也就是 Krishna.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know what you see or what you feel or what you hear.
因此我不知晓你看到的是什么，我不知道你看到的是什么，你能感受到什么，你能触碰到什么。
And you don't know what I see or what I feel or what I hear.
然后你也不知道我能看到什么，我能触碰到什么，我能听到什么。
But Krishna knows what everyone sees, what everyone hears, what everyone feels.
但是的话 ，Krishna 却知道每一个生命体所看到的、所能听到的、所能触碰到的。
So we have this famous verse, from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami.
Rupa Goswami 所写的Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 当中有这样一个非常出名的诗节。
It's also originally spoken by Lord Chaitanya in the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
而这个诗节最初也是在永恒的柴塔尼亚经里所记载的，是由主柴塔尼亚所说出来的一个诗节。
And this verse mentions that when we engage our senses and our consciousness in the service of the source of the senses and the consciousness, then our material illusion is eradicated.
Eradicated. 而在这个世界中就听到，就提到，当我们把感官和知觉运用在去对感官和知觉的源头的服务之中时候，运用在对这个感官和知觉的源头的服务之中的时候，那么我们在物质上所遭受的幻觉就会被消除掉。
So I will just quote this verse.
我现在来引用下这个诗节。
Sarva Pari Vinir Muktam Tat Part Vena Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchite. So Rupa Goswami or Lord Chaitanya, he says, bhakti or devotional service means to engage our senses in the service of the Lord.
所以说 Rupa Goswami 或者是主 Chaitanya 他们就说到 Bhakti 或者就是奉爱服务就意味着要把感官运用在对主的服务之中。
Because the Lord is the master of the senses or the source of the senses.
由于主是感官之主，或者叫做也是感官的源头。
Yeah, Rishikena Rishikesha. That means engage your senses in the service of the master of the senses.
所以那个 Rishikesha Rishikena， 意思就是说把感官运用在对感官之主、感官的源头的服务之中。
Now, when we serve the Lord consciously, you know, with our senses, something miraculous happens.
当我们有觉知的把自己的知觉，把自己的感官运用在对主的服务当中的时候，某个很神奇的事情就发生了。
What happens?
那是什么发生的呢？
Sarva Pati.So, sarva means all.
这个梵文诗句当中第一个 sarva 的意思是指一切。
Upadi means material designations.
Upadi 的意思是指物质上的名号。
And vinir muktam means eradicated and liberated from.
这个 vinir mukti, right? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Vinir Mukti 这个梵文词的意思就是指被消除了，然后被解脱了。
So if I ask you to describe yourself,
所以如果我要求你来描述一下你自己
，You would tell me your name.
然后你就会跟我说到你的名字啊。
And you would tell me if you're a man or a woman.
你可能会告诉我你是一个男性还是一个女性。
And you would tell me where you were born.
你也可能会告诉我你的出生地
and what your race is.
然后告诉我你的民族是什么。
You might even tell me what your job is.
你甚至可能会告诉我你的工作。
if you're married or not.
可能会提到、哎、是不是已经结婚啊等等。
And maybe you would tell me I graduated from this university and I have these types of、degrees.
然后或者你可能会告诉我你是哪个大学毕业的，然后你拿了一些什么样的、这个学位啊等等。
You might even be a little proud.
你甚至可能会感到有一点点骄傲。
So these are all upadis or material designations.
这一切刚才举到的例子就是 upadi, 也就是物质上的名号。
Right, they're temporary、designations that exist only in the mind. They're mentally constructed.
Mentally constructed. 而这些都只是短暂意识的名号，它们仅仅存在于心意之中，是由心意所构建出来的。
And ultimately, they're the source of all our suffering.
而归根结底，这些名号就是我们受苦的源头。
Because they're temporary designations.
因为它们是短暂意识的名号。
Right, we can't keep any of them.
由于他们短暂易逝，所以我们就没法长时间的，或者叫做一直永远的能够得到他们，获得他们。
Yeah, so there's always the fear of death.
于是的话，总是有这种对于死亡的恐惧感。
Yeah, so when we serve Krishna with our senses, with our mind and senses.
因此，当我们用我们的感官和心意来服务 Krishna 的时候。
We begin to realize our eternal, real designation.
我们便会开始觉悟到自己永恒的真正的名号。
Which is that actually I belong to Krishna.
而这永恒的真正的名号，那就是我们真的是属于 Krishna 的。
I exist by the grace of God.
我是经由神的恩典而存在的。
And so this becomes a revelation.
而这是一种揭示。
Just by consciously choosing to serve God, to serve Krishna with our mind and senses, we become freed from false designations and we realize our true self.
当我通过有觉知的选择把心意和感官用来服务至尊主，那么我们就会得以去从虚假的名号当中解脱出来，从而觉悟到真正的自我。
So then we become a co-creator, you could say.
而后的话呢，我们就可以成为一个可以叫做co-creator, 共同的创造者。
Yeah, just like Krishna is on the battlefield, Arjuna is on the battlefield, everyone's on the battlefield fighting. They're all doing something.
就正如 Krishna 在战场上， Arjuna 也在战场上，每一个人都在战场上，他们在共同的去打一场战争。
And they become perfect instruments of the Lord.
他们都成为了主的完美的工具。
Yeah, because they're surrendered and they're cooperating with the Lord's will, so the Lord can use them as instruments of His will.
由于他们已经向主臣服了，所以说他们能够去和主的意愿相一致，使他们就能够去成为主的意愿的工具。
Yeah, so that's our goal, is to be a perfect instrument.That the Lord can use.
而这就是我们的目标，我们想要成为主能够去使用的完美的工具。
And gradually, as we develop this consciousness that I have no independent existence from the Lord, I'm His servant, the more we have this kind of consciousness, the more the Lord can utilize us for His purpose.
Okay.For His purpose. 所以说逐渐的随着我们发展出这样的一种知觉，发展出这种我们是不可能独立于至尊主而存在的，我们是他的仆人的这样的一种知觉，那么我们就越能够去more when we develop more this 那么我们就能更多的去把自己运用来去作为主的目的，对，把自己运用起来去实现主的目的。
Yeah, so the more we surrender to the Lord and give up this imagined, you know, we give up imagining that we exist separate from Krishna, the more he's able to utilize us for his purpose.
Utilize us for his purpose, right? Okay, 所以说我们如果能越是去臣服，越能够放弃想象出来的自我，我们越能够放弃这个想象出来的我是和 Krishna 相分离的这样一种幻觉，那么我们就越能够把自己运用起来，来实现主的目的。
Yeah, so that, you know, this, you know, so in the different verses of Bhagavad Gita, sometimes Krishna is referred to as Bhagavan, sometimes he's referred to as Madhusudana.
在博迦梵歌当中不同的诗节地方，然后 Krishna 就有不同的这个称谓，就被称为比如说 Bhagavan 或者是 Madhusudana。
Yeah, so the name for Krishna and the name for Arjuna changes often through different verses. There's different names that have different meanings.
所以说的话呢，这个在不同的地方的话呢 ，Krishna 和 Arjuna 的名字就会发生改变。然后，他名字发生改变的话呢，就有这个不同的含义。
Yeah, so it's not by chance.That in this verse, Krishna is referred to as Hrishikesha.
因此的话呢，在这个诗节中 ，Krishna 被称为 Hrishikesha， 这并不是一种偶然的，或者是叫做这个随机的这样一种称呼而已。
Yeah, so Krishna, the Lord of everyone, the Master of everyone, the Master of all senses, is blowing his conch shell.
而 Krishna 他作为所有生命体的主人，他作为所有感官的主人，就吹响了他的海螺。
And Arjuna and Bhima, they're surrendered souls to the Lord.
而 Arjuna 和 Bhima, 他们都是至尊主的臣服了的奉献者。
So they are perfect instruments in the hands of the Lord.
因此他们是至尊主手中的完美的工具。
They're just there to fulfill the purpose of the Lord.
他们在那里就是为了去完成主的意愿，主的目的。
Yeah, so there's no doubt that the Pandavas are going to be victorious in the battle.
因此毋庸置疑的是，潘达五兄弟是绝对会在战场上胜利的。
So then the next verse describes the other Pandavas and their conch shells and the other great generals on the side of the Pandavas blowing their conch shells.
然后所以说下面的诗节的话呢，就描述到了其他的潘达瓦兄弟以及在他们那一边的其他的那些伟大的将领们和他们的海螺。
And then we'll go on to text 19 and then We'll stop there and answer questions.
好，我们现在再来说一下十九诗节。说完了以后，我们就来回答问题。
The blowing of these different conch shells became uproarious, vibrating both in the sky and on the earth. It shattered the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra.
十九诗节，这些各式各样的海螺声震撼大地，响彻云霄，在天地间回荡着。让 Dhritarashtra 诸子心胆俱裂。
Purport. When Bhima and the others on the side of Duryodhana blew their respective conch shells, there was no heartbreaking on the part of the Pandavas.
要知，当 Duryodhana 阵中的 Bhishma 和众将领吹响海螺时， Pandava 一方并没有胆寒心惊。
Such occurrences are not mentioned.But in this particular verse, it is mentioned that the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra were shattered by the sounds vibrated by the Pandavas' party.
博迦梵歌当中没有这种描述，但在这个诗节里却谈到了潘达瓦五兄弟军中的号角声震得 Dhritarashtra 诸子心胆俱裂。
This is due to the Pandavas and their confidence in Lord Krishna.
而这是因为潘达巴兄弟以及他们对主 Krishna 的坚定信心所致。
One who takes shelter of the Supreme Lord has nothing to fear, even in the midst of the greatest calamity.
一个托庇于至尊主的人，即使面临最大的灾难，也会坦然处之，无需丝毫恐慌。
So we can take this last sentence away. You know, we can meditate on this this week. One who takes shelter of the Supreme Lord has nothing to fear, even in the midst of the greatest calamities.
因此这个要旨当中的最后一句话是我们值得深思的，是我们可以在这个星期好好的去冥想的。一个托庇于至尊主的人，即使面临最大的灾难，也会坦然处之，无需丝毫恐慌。
Yeah, so we experience so many ups and downs in our life.
我们在人生当中会经历许许多多的起起落落。
And every experience is impermanent.
而每一种体验，每一种经历都是不长久的，不永恒的。
But for the devotee who regularly chants the holy name.
然而对于那些时常吟诵吟唱至尊主圣名的奉献者而言。
Yeah, when we chant the holy name with attention.
当我们带着专注来念诵圣名时。
Our consciousness really enters into itself.
我们的知觉真的是在念诵的那一刻进入到了他自己。
Into that experiencer that's not the experience, the one who's not changing.
进入到了那个在体验一切的生命当中，而这个体验一切的生命是永远不变的。
Yeah, so we experience that part of ourselves that's eternal.
于是我们在这样的状态之中，就会体验到自己永恒的那一部分的我。
That's coming from the supreme eternal.
而这个永恒的这部分我是来自于永恒的至尊。
And we peacefully and happily chant the holy name in spite of all the temporary ups and downs that are going on in our life and around us.
我们就这样平和的、快乐的念诵着圣名，尽管在我们周遭的生活之中有各种各样的起起落落，各种各样的短暂的起起落落。
Yeah, we experience direct every day. We should take time connect or center ourselves in the spiritual world.
In the spiritual world. 所以在每一天。我们都应该投入时间来把自己和灵性世界连接起来，来让自己能够处在灵性世界之中。
Yeah, the spiritual world is not somewhere far away from us. It's there within our heart.
灵性世界并不是一个很遥远的这种很遥远的地方。灵性世界实际上近在咫尺，也就是在我们的心灵之中，我们的心灵之中就有灵性世界。
And every day, we should spend some time connecting, centering.
而每天我们都应该投入一些时间来去连接到灵性世界，来让自己处在灵性世界之中。
Just by peacefully absorbing ourselves in the holy name.
而只需要通过平和的观察自己和圣灵临在一起。
In this way, we can pass through all the ups and downs of this temporary illusion that's going on.
那么以这样的方式，我们就能得以穿越所有的起起落落，而所有的这些跌宕起伏的这些体验的话呢，都是这个短暂的幻觉所带来的。
It makes me, reminds me of a verse from the Katha Upanishad.
Katha Upanishad, huh?
Katha.
Oh, 而这就让我想起了 Katha Upanishad 这个当中的一个诗节。
I think Katha Upanishad is one of the original or oldest Upanishads.
我想 Katha Upanishad 这本这个奥义书的话呢，是最原初、最古老的一本奥义书了。
Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kaman.The Supreme Lord is eternal.
至尊主是永恒的。
And the living beings are also eternal.
生命体也是永恒的。
The Supreme Lord is cognizant, and the living beings are also cognizant.
至尊主是有觉知的，同样生命体也是有觉知的。
The difference is that the Supreme Lord is supplying all the necessities of life for the many other living entities.
For many other living entities, right?
Yes.
而区别就在于至尊主他为所有其他的生命体都在提供着生命的必需品。
Yeah, so when we chant with attention,We can begin to perceive that we are the perceiver. We're not the changing phenomenon that we're perceiving.
Sorry, Gumaj, could you repeat it? We begin to perceive that.
When we chant with attention, we can perceive that we are the perceiver. We're not the changing things that we're perceiving.
Okay, got it. 所以说当我们带着专注来念诵的时候，我们就能够去感知到我们是感知者，而我们并不是那个不断在变化着的被感知的事物。
Yeah, so that's eternal. We're part of the spiritual world.
而这个就是永恒的。这个时候你就能感知到自己是灵性世界的一部分。
Yeah, so the Lord's eternal, we're eternal.
So 主是永恒的，我们也是永恒的。
The difference is that the Lord is the source, and we are the dependent.
而区别就在于主是源头，而我们是依附于他、依赖于他的生命体。
So we can connect with that anytime we choose.
而我们可以在任何时候。做出选择来与我们的源头连接起来。
Yeah, and in this way, we can pass through all the changes of material life.
那么以这样的方式，我们就能得以穿越物质生活当中所有的跌宕起伏。
So, or as Prabhupada says in the last sentence, one who takes shelter of the Supreme Lord has nothing to fear, even in the midst of the greatest calamity.
这也正是帕帕在这个诗节要旨的最后一句话所写的，一个脱避于至尊主的人，即使面临最大的灾难，也会坦然处之，无需丝毫恐慌。
So when we chant with attention, we can directly perceive I am by the grace of the Lord.
因此，当我们带着专注来念诵的时候，我们便能经由主的恩典。主的仁慈能直接的去体验到我是
，right? I can never be destroyed.
就能直接的去体验到我是永远不会被毁灭的。
Yeah, because you know the Lord is He's eternal, and because of Him we are and we are eternal.
因为主是永恒的，而由于主是永恒的，因此我们也是永恒的。
So next class, we'll look at verses, we'll start with verse 20.
Okay. 所以我们下次课的话呢，会从22世节开始。20世节。
Okay. So I'll answer any questions if there are any.
Okay, yeah, there are questions left from last week. 好，我们现在正课讲述就来回答问题了。上个星期还有几个问题剩下了。哦，我们来看一下。Okay, the first question from last week. 上个星期剩下的第一个问题是 Panchatattva Prabhu 问的，顶拜 Maharaja 和所有奉献者。Duryodhan 是一位国王，为什么如此残忍嫉妒，要置潘达瓦古兄弟于死地呢？同时还要求 Bhishma 和 Dronacharya 也不要心慈手软。So Panchatattva Prabhu was asking a question last week. He's offering his obeisances unto you, saying that Duryodhan is a king, and how come he can be so cruel and envious and just want to really destroy and kill Pandava brothers? That's the first question, that he's a king, and how come he's so cruel and envious? And the next question is that in the meantime, he also, actually it's not the next question, he's meantime also asked Bhishma and Dronacharya to not be merciful towards Pandava brothers.
What was that question again?
He is a king, and how come he is so cruel and envious and wanting to kill them?
Well, that's the same question, right?
Same.
So there's just one question?
So
as a king, how can he be such a cruel person? Mm-hmm. And also, particularly, how can he be so cruel towards the Pandavas, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do I got it?
Yes, Gomaraj.
Okay. Thank you, Panchatattva Prabhu, for your question.
谢谢 Panchatattva Prabhu 问的问题。
Well, you know, when we look at history, we see the political system, you know, for up until, you know, 300 or 400 years ago was a monarchy.
如果我们来观看历史的话呢，然后就会发现实际上直到300年、400年之前，整个人类进程当中社会当中所出现的政治体系都是君主独裁制。
And we also see that sometimes monarchies and leaders are highly developed spiritual people, and sometimes they're very low conscious, undeveloped human beings.
而我们也能看到，在这些所有的独裁统治当中的话呢，就有些领导者是非常进步、非常发展的这种有灵性的一些人，而同时另外一些这些独裁君主的话呢，则具有非常低的知觉意识，然后就是还未尚待尚需发展的人类。
So, you know, human beings, they exhibit a, you know, kind of a spectrum of consciousness, depending on how developed they are. Just like, you know, we have a spectrum of consciousness, you know, for baby infants, you know, babies, young children, teenagers, and a mature adult.
I see. 所以人类的话呢，是会展现出这个一整个像光谱一样的这种知觉的种类。就我们知道那个光谱嘛，就是整个一个呈圆形的，就是完全的展示出来。然后，而这就取决于每一个人他的这个每一个生命体，他发展出来的知觉意识是怎样的一种状态。实际上，我们来观看的话呢，就人类知觉很直接的一点，就是有小婴儿的知觉，有这个可能读小学的这些儿童的知觉，也有这个年轻人的知觉，然后有成年人的知觉，然后因此的话呢，就是说有不同的年龄呈现出来的知觉状态，同样的这个人类的一种整体现象也会呈现出不同的知觉状态。
So just like we make a distinction between animals and human beings based on the level of consciousness that they exhibit.
就正如我们基于这个动物和人类所展现出来的知觉意识状态，从而得以区分动物和人类。
Animals are only concerned with their own personal individual survival.
动物只在乎它自己的这个生存。
And maybe for temporarily for their family.
或者的话呢，在短暂的时间之内，动物的话呢也会去关心它的家人的这个存在。
And similarly, when a baby is born, an infant, you know, until the age of, you know, 3 or 4 or 5, the infant is only aware of itself and its own needs.
同样的道理，对于人类的婴儿来说，直到3岁或者5岁之前，这个小孩子，就这个年龄阶段的孩子的话，他的知觉只能觉知到他自己，只能觉知到他自己的需求和生存。
Right.And then as the child develops, he becomes aware of his family and of his race and of his tribe, you know, or the people in his group.
而随着这个小孩子的一个成长发展，然后他渐渐的就能去觉知到他的家人。觉知到他所处在的部落，然后或者是觉知到他的这样一个族群，也就是他同一个团体当中的其他人。
Yeah, so the one's identity expands from just being totally self-centered to being aware of others.
然后这样的话呢，人的身份认同就得以扩展开来，就从一种完全以自我为中心的这样一种身份认同扩展到。对其他人的觉知。
So the lowest level of human consciousness is called egocentric. I'm just concerned about me.
所以说最低级的人类知觉或者叫人类意识的话呢，就是这种以假我为中心或者叫以自我为中心，也就是我所关心的一切都只是我自己。
And then the identity expands to my group.
然后的话呢，身份认同就扩展为群体或者是团体。
That's called ethnocentric.
Ethnocentric.
Yes.
Oh.
Means you're aware of others in your group, but other groups are not important. But my group, very important.
而这种的话呢，就被称为一个叫做 ethnocentric， 这个英文我还不知道怎么说，反正意思就是说。你觉知到你团体当中的其他人，但是只是你自己的团体，而别人的团体的话，你是完全不在意的。
Right, so, you know, if you're a part of my religion, my group, you know, you're going to go to heaven. But if you're not part of my religion, not part of my group, then you're going to go to hell.
所以如果你是我宗教团体当中的一份子，你是我所处在的这样一个群体当中的一份子，你就会上天堂，否则的话呢，你就会下地狱，就这种心态。
Yeah, and then human consciousness can expand, the identity can expand to include all humans.
然后的话，人类的身份认同就可以扩展到对全人类的这样一种在意，对所有人类。
On this level of consciousness, all humans, man or woman, rich or poor, everyone has equal rights. As a creation of God.
而到这一层面的时候，就所有人类，无分男女老少，然后贫穷富贵，那么都有同等的这样一个权利。
And then human consciousness can expand beyond that to all living beings, that all living beings are part of God.
然后的话呢，这样的一种知觉意识又可以扩展到对所有生命体了，然后那就是所有有生命的这些存在，那么都是神的平等的一部分。
So that was the consciousness of King Yudhisthira.
而这就是 Yudhisthira 的知觉状态。
You know, he felt he considered himself responsible for the welfare that every living beinganimal or human, in his kingdom.
而他的这种直觉状态就是他认为自己是有责任要对他的王国当中的所有人以及所有动物所有有生命的存在的福祉所承担起责任的。
Where Duryodhana, his level of consciousness was at the beginning level of egocentric or maybe a little bit ethnocentric.
而杜若丹他的这个知觉状态的话呢，就是这个最低级的人类知觉状态，就是完全以自我为中心的，只关心于他自己的存在，而有可能还有一点点就是这种对他的所处团体的这样一种身份认同，这样的一种在意的一种身份认同。
So the history, you know, if you go back in history, you'll see there are tyrannical leaders and there are very divine leaders.
因此如果我们回溯历史的话呢，就会看到历史长河当中有一些暴君式的人物，而同时的话呢，也有一些非常神圣的非常具有光辉形象的这些君主的存在。
And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, you know, I am the monarch. The monarch actually represents me. The leader of a country is, you know, actually represents me.
Well, Krishna says that I am a monarch.
Yeah.
Oh, Krishna 在薄伽梵歌当中就说到过，我就是君主。我就是君主统治，君主独裁，应该是君主统治。然后一个国家的领导就代表了我。
So actually, the monarch has the responsibility of being the father or being responsible for the welfare of all the citizens.
实际上君主是有责任的。君主的责任就是他对整个王国当中的所有人都的这个福祉都承担起责任。
So you could say that's the external reason for the battle of Kurukshetra.
所以说你可以说这就是库鲁之战的外部原因。
Because Krishna wanted Yudhisthira to be the leader because he's divine, he has divine consciousness, and Duryodhana is a rascal of a low consciousness.
所以说的话呢，这个外部原因导致这个库鲁之战的原因，就是因为 Krishna 想要 Yudhisthira 来成为这个整个这个国家的君主，因为他拥有神圣的知觉。而做对比的话呢，杜若丹则是这种拥有最低的这种知觉意识状态了。
Yeah, so Duryodhana, he didn't care who he killed or what he did as long as he could get what he wanted.
杜若丹他是不在意他自己杀了谁或者干了是什么坏事，反正只要他能得逞就行了。
So he's just a classic demoniac leader. Oh my god, what is this?
Okay, 所以说的话呢，杜若丹就是一个典型的恶魔式的领导者。
long answer, but actually it could have been very simple.
不是说他又说话说多了，然后本来可以很简单的回答你的问题的。Okay, next one.
Yeah.
OK, 下一个问题也是上个星期的四主 Yuvati Gorangi 这位 Mataji 问，为什么 Drupadi 被试图扒光衣服后要发射一只闪下头发呢？有什么社会背景吗？So this Mataji is asking that how come that Drupadi after the whole incident that Duryodhana trying to disrobe her, and after the whole event that Drupadi swore,that he would never tie her hair up, like she would always wear her hair down. So what is the reason for that? Is there any social reason, social background for this?
I don't remember, you know, the details of that story.
故事说他记不清楚这个故事的细节了。
Yeah, and especially when it comes to women's hair and Vedic culture and those kind of...Social rules.
然后特别是关乎于就是在伟大文化当中，和女性的头发相关的这些社会规则。
Because a married woman is supposed to keep her hair tied up.
因为已婚的女性的话，就需要把头发给扎起来。
Right. And none of her husbands came to her rescue, right?
嗯，而她的她的她的丈夫们都没有一个去救她。
Yeah, they because you know they lost the gambling match, so she was no longer their property.
嗯，因为潘达鲁兄弟们就是输了那场赌博，因此的话呢，主 party 就已经不属于他们的。对，主 party 就是由于他们输了赌博，主 party 就不属于他们了。嗯。
So naturally, Draupadi was very angry at her husbands for not coming to her rescue and just observing, you know, some sort of Kshatriya etiquette.
嗯，哦，因此的话呢，主 party 自然而然是对于这些完全不去救她的丈夫们就感到非常的愤怒，然后就只看到他们的丈夫，她只看到她的丈夫们就是去遵循一些刹帝利的一些规则规矩而已。
That's my guess.
嗯，所以这是我的猜测。
But I'm sure there's more to say on that, but I don't know much.
嗯，不是说应该就这一点可以有更多可以谈到的，只不过她自己不知道。
It's been a long time since I read Mahabharata.
哦，不是说已经他上一次读马哈巴拉特都已经是很久很久以前了。
And I was surprised my daughter just we were just talking the other day. I didn't realize it, but she told me of all the books she read in her life, Mahabharata was her favorite, and she used to read it all the time, even as a teenager.
哦，所以说，之前我女儿有一次就告诉我，就是她读了那么多的书，读了那么多的书，她最喜欢的书就是《马哈巴拉特》的。然后甚至她就是一直读，一直喜欢读。然后她在那个十多岁的时候就已经非常喜欢《马哈巴拉特》了。嗯。
So anyway, if you read Mahabharata, you'll find the answer to that question, I'm sure.
嗯，所以我想的话，只要你去阅读《马哈巴拉特》，你肯定会找到你问的这个问题的答案的。
Okay, anything else?
Yeah, 下一个问题 ，Vara Daiswara Maharaj 问，事情是这样的哦。上个星期我当时说到职称评定的问题，没按国家规定的文件去做，自己拟定，把够条件的都没定上，多次诉求没有结果，我们该怎么做？请指教。So Guru Maharaj, this Maharaj is saying that last week you remember you answered her question. The second time she's asking that we encounter something injustice and unreasonable, and what should devotees do? What should the devotee apply the spiritual knowledge?And you were answering that you don't know her specific situation. That's why you couldn't really give specific direction, guidance. And she's explaining that it's about the title thing. So the title in her job. So some person, I guess, in the management didn't follow the government's rules, government's regulations to do, and just to do it on their own. And so those people who are qualified did not get the title on the job. So probably, I think this Mataji is one of them. So she has appealed for several times, or many times, but still no result. So she's asking, what should she do?
Oh, well, what can she do?
嗯，就 Guru 就说到，你能做些什么呢？
Yeah, what do we do? What is our response when things happen beyond our control?
就当事情的发生是超越了我们的控制之外的时候，我们应该对此做出怎样的反应呢？
Yeah, so at that point, you know, we can protest or, you know, within, or we can resist, or we can complain, or we can get angry.
嗯，说到那一刻，在事情的发生超乎我们的掌控那一刻的时候，我们可以在内心里去抗议，我们可以非常抗拒这样的事情，我们可以去抱怨，然后甚至对此感到极度的愤怒。
Yeah, so if there's something we can do, we do it.
就如果就这件事情的发生，我们能够去做一些什么的话，我们就去做。
If we've done everything we can do, and then it's be out of our hands, and there's nothing we can do, then we have to come to acceptance.
而如果我们已经就这件事情做了我们能够去做的，但是事情依然没有转变的话，那我们就需要让自己能够与之达成和解，就是达成这样一种接受。
And then we, you know, we can become a little philosophical.
You mean towards this question?
Well, I mean, we have to look at it, you know, philosophically.
那么在这个时候的话，如果我们已经尽力去做，尽力去改变，但是事情依然没有转机的话，我们就可以从很哲学的角度
来了解。Right, that ultimately, we are, it's our karma, and also Krishna's in control.
而归根结底的话呢，这是我们的业报，并且 Krishna 也是处于掌控之中的。
And our false ego doesn't like it.
而我们的假我不喜欢这样的事情发生。
And it's kicking and screaming and protesting.
然后假我不断的在抗争，在挣扎，在喊叫。
Yeah, so there's the external world, and then there's our response, our inner response to it, and that's where we can make spiritual advancement.
所以说有外在的世界，而同时的话呢，也有我们的内在所对外在世界所做出的反应，而正是在我们的内在反应之中，是我们可以得以去取得灵性进步的。
There's where we can see our attachment.
而正在我们的内心反应之中，我们可以看到自己对事物的执念或者叫依附。
There we can see where we're identified with this limited mentally constructed self.
Limited mentally constructed self. 而正是在我们的内在反应之中，我们能得以看到自己对这个心意构建出来的充满各种局限性的我，对这个我所做出的这种认同。
And then we can assume our true identity as eternal servants of Krishna.
然后我们就能得以去选择恢复自己的真正的身份，也就是 Krishna 的永恒仆人的身份。
And then we'll find peace and happiness within, even though externally things aren't going the way our ego wants.
由此的话，我们就能得以在内在中去找到平和与快乐，而即便外在的事物、外在的世界并没有按照我们的假我想要去发生、想要去展开的那种方式而发生。
Yeah, so do whatever you can, you know.To change the situation to make it the way you want it, but ultimately, after that, what can you do?
所以说你可以尽自己最大努力去做任何你能做到的事情，来让外在的世界按照你想要的方式去发生。但是的话，归根结底，ultimately, after that, what you can do?
Yeah, I mean, after you've tried all you can to change the situation, and you can't change it, then what can you do?
而归根结底的话呢，到你尽最大努力去改变这个状况，但是状况仍然没有被改变，那么你又能做些什么呢？
Okay, thank you. Thanks for letting us know, you know, what the actual situation is.
谢谢你告诉我们你的这个具体的情况是怎样的。Okay, next one. 好，我们来看下一个也是上个星期的问题 ,136758, 这位奉献者问顶拜咕噜和翻译和这个奉献者说请问卑劣残忍的人为了隐藏自己不好行为不被发现是不是善于掩饰口是心非人们通常会被迷惑难以分辨 people. So this devotee is asking that for those very low and cruel people, low and mean and cruel people, they hide their bad behaviors so that other people will not find out that they have done something very bad, very wrong. Is that they are really good at hiding themselves, and they say the words and their behaviors do not match at all, and this is quite bewildering for the others, right? And other people usually cannot differentiate this type of person. I don't know if you understand my question.
I don't understand. Is it a question or just a comment?
This is a question. It is a question. So basically saying that those people who hide their bad behaviors so that other people won't notice them, these people are very good at hiding themselves, very good at pretending, right?
Right. Some people are better at it than others.
是的，这些人确实是挺善于掩饰口是心非的。只不过在这一群人这种类型的人当中呢，有些比另外一些要更擅长。
Well, I mean, you know, just like serial killers, you know. A lot of times when they're finally discovered, no one can believe it. They seem like, you know, one of the nicest, helpful people in the neighborhood.
Oh, OK. 就像这个连环杀手一样，因为在美国就历来的这个连环杀手就是案件发生的特别多。然后我就说的话呢，就当这些连环杀手就是被人们发现的时候，就被警察抓住的时候，他身边的那些家人啊或者邻居啊根本就不敢相信，就觉得哎，这个人这么好，然后这么善良，然后而且很乐于助人啊，然后经常帮邻里干活啊什么的，结果竟然是连环杀手。
And then, you know, there's a saying in English, I'm sure there's a similar saying in Chinese, that power corrupts.
Power corrupts. 就是在英语当中的话呢，有这样一句俗语，然后就是说这个有权力的话呢，就会对，权力就会使得人堕落，使得人呢腐败。对，英语当中有这样一句话。
And then absolute power corrupts absolutely.
而绝对权力就会绝对的导致腐败，或者叫堕落。
So wherever you have, you know, companies or government systems or even religious hierarchies where the power is absolute, you know, the leaders can be absolutely corrupted, and at that point they don't care about their behavior, you know, they don't care about what anyone else thinks, they don't even hide it, you know, they just do the worst things.
okay, so Guru 就说到说，像比如说对于公司啊，或者对于这种政府，对于这种就是说是政府的体系，然后或者是对于这种宗教当中的这种，对于宗教当中的这种体系来说的话呢，一旦要是权力就是变成集权了，对，应该是集权啊，绝对权力了。那么到那一刻的时候，就是站到这个最高位的这些人的话呢，甚至都不会在意，不会去掩饰了，就不会在意别人眼中的自己的行为是怎样的，然后他们就反正。就是想干什么就干什么，就属于这样一种状况。
Right, they manage by fear.
他们是通过恐惧来这个统治或者是管理其他人的。
Yeah, so everyone shuts up and nobody says anything, and they just bow down.
然后所以说的话呢，其他人的话呢，就是就都闭口不言。就睁一只眼闭一只眼，就只乖乖的去对，乖乖的去顶拜，或者是乖乖的去这种鞠躬，就属于这种。
Yeah, you know, so you know, 500 years ago, that was pretty common everywhere, but now, you know, it's still common even in this modern age.
所以在500年前的话呢，像这样的一种集权统治在当时的那个世界是挺常见的，然后当然到了 当今的社会变化的话，这种现象依然还是存在。
You've got corrupted leaders who surround themselves with, you know, other corrupt people, and they're kind of in it together. And they exploit the citizens and the whole country, and they get millions and millions of dollars and offshore bank accounts. And
所以说的话呢，在当今时代的话，也是依然存在的，就是有这些非常腐败的领导，然后他们的身边的话呢，也是有聚集了很多同样腐败的人，然后于是大家都是沆瀣一气的，然后来去剥削自己的这个所处的土地和臣民。
Okay. Okay. Next
one.
Yeah.
好，下一个问题，这个 Mobile S2 这个奉献者问，怎么理解修的是假我呢？去除贪嗔痴迷是修假我还是真我？So this devotee is asking that how to understand that if my spiritual practice or other people's spiritual practice is your ego gets involved in it. Yeah, so how to understand that is actually your ego gets involved in your spiritual practice. So trying to get rid of greed, obsession, or attachment of greed, anger, and attachment is a kind of, this is like a Buddhism term. I don't know the Buddhism term, but kind of like that. So how to get rid of those is your real ego or your false ego wanting to do that?
Well, the false ego is very selfish.
假我是非常自私的。
And it has an agenda.
假我有他自己的这个议程。Agenda means that ulterior motive, right?
Yeah, it means, you know, why do we do what we do?
假我是有他的目的的。就是说，意思就是说，我们为什么要去做我们在做的事儿？
Yeah, right. The little me always wants something.
这个小小的我总是想得到一些什么东西。
It wants love, it wants approval, it wants acceptance.
这个小小的我想要得到爱，想要得到别人认可和肯定和接纳。
It wants to be special.
这个小小的我想要让自己是独一无二，是很特别的。
It wants to be right.
这个小小的我想要自己是对的，是正确的。
It wants to be in control.
这个小小的我想要自己是能处于掌控之中的。
So, when we have an actual spiritual practice where we're present and introspective, we can watch the mind, we can watch our thoughts, we can watch our feelings.
因此当我们在进行真正的灵性修习的时候，我们就会是内省的，内观的，我们是与自己是一起临在的。那么此时的话，我们就能得以去观察自己的心意，我们得以去观察脑袋里冒出来的念头以及内在出现的情绪和感受。
And then we can see the motivations of our imagined self.
这样的话，我们就能看到自己想象出来的我的动机是什么。
Right. So you know, when we're doing some devotional service, but the motivation is to be special and get the respect of others.Then we can see, well, that's the false ego.
因此当我们在进行一些奉爱服务的时候，我们的这个动机是要让自己显得很特别，希望自己能通过做奉爱服务来得到别人的敬意、尊敬。那么此时的话，我们就能看到，哦，这是假我参与到这个假我在这个作祟。
So if we don't live in the present and we're not able to observe our thoughts and our feelings, then basically we're always under the shadow of the false ego and we don't even know it.
而如果我们没有活在临在之中，没有活在当下此刻，那么我们就无法去观察自己的感受和念头， 那基本上我们就是一直活在这个假我的阴影之下了。
So Lord Chaitanya, he compared these motivations of the false ego to be like weeds that can grow and surround our devotional creeper.
主 Chaitanya 就把这些动机就比喻作是杂草，而这些杂草就是生长在我们的风爱树苗周围的这个花园当中的这些其他的杂草。
And he instructed us. He said, "You have to become a gardener of your devotional creeper."
主柴坦尼亚就说，就训示到我们必须要成为园丁，要能去照顾好我们内心花园当中的红爱小树苗。
That means you have to be able to observe, and you know, you have to constantly be looking at the garden and noticing the weeds when they appear, and then to pull them out.
而这就意味着你要一直去观察你的花园，去看到，去一直去观察你的花园，去看到是不是你的风爱小树苗的周围长得出来杂草。真的长得出来的话，那你就要立刻把它们拔掉。
Yeah, so weeding a garden is something that has to regularly be done. It's not something you do one time.
而给花园拔出杂草这件事儿，是我们是要时常去做的一件事情，而不是只做一次就完了的事。
Yeah, so we as devotees, we have to be introspective. We have to be able to observe our thoughts and our feelings.And bring the ego into the light of consciousness.
因此作为奉献者，我们就必须要能够往内观看，我们要得以去观察自己的念头和感受，把我们的假我带到知觉的光芒之下。
So we don't have to get rid of the ego, we just have to expose it to the light, that's all.
而我们不需要去去除掉假我，我们所要做的就只是去把假我暴露在知觉的光芒之下就可以了。
Yeah, and then when you see it, you'll just laugh, and that'll be it.
然后当你看到你的假我的时候，你就哈哈大笑一下，就是如此而已。
So that all will this power of inner observation will develop in one who's learning to chant.With attention.
而这种往内观察的力量，将会是当一位奉献者能得以去带着专注来念诵的时候，就能得以发展出来的力量。
Because as devotees, we sit down every day for an hour or two and do that. We're not supposed to be doing anything else. So then you'll develop this power of focus and clarity.
因为作为奉献者的话，我们每天要花一到两个小时的时间坐在那里，专注的念诵，而只是专注的念诵，却不是去做任何其他事情。那么这样的话，我们就能得以发展出这种往内观看的力量，就能发展出一种专注，一种清晰度。
And then as you go throughout your day, doing your work or whatever, You have enough presence of awareness to notice your thoughts and feelings during the day and notice when the ego is active.
那么当你有了这样的一个早上的一种念诵状态之后，那么随着你在经历那一天的生活，在去做自己的工作啊等等，那么你就会有足够的知觉临在，得以去注意到在一天的生活经历当中所冒出来的念头和感受，你就能去注意到你的假我在哪个时候是突然活跃起来了。
So this is called anartha nivritti.
这就被称为 anartha nivritti.
So ego motivations, you know, this ego wants to survive. These are all anarthas.
所以假我的动机，假我想要去生存下来，那么这一切的话呢，都是我们的 anartha， 我们的不结。
Right, where pure bhakti is just as it says, just as it's divine. Pure bhakti means pure. It means without ego motivations.
纯净的 bhakti 的话呢，说到纯净，那就是指它这当中非常纯粹，完全不含有一丝假我的杂质。
Right, anyabi lasita sunyam jnana karmani anavritam anukarena krishnanam silanam bhakti uttamam. That a pure bhakti is free of, you know, desire to be special, desire to be worshipped, desire to be accepted. It's free of selfishness.
所以不如刚才引用的那段梵文诗节的话，意思就是说，纯粹的 bhakti 是不含有任何个人的欲望的，是不含有任何想要去自己被崇拜，想要自己独一无二、非常特别，想要自己被别人接纳的这些欲望的，就不含有任何一丁点的自私。
Right, we're chanting, we're serving Krishna not to get anything, but really to say thank you for everything we've already been given.
我们去念诵，我们去做奉爱服务，我们所做的这一切并不是为了从奉爱服务或者从念诵当中得到些什么，而我们这样去做只是为了去表达，去对 Krishna 说一句谢谢你，谢谢 Krishna 已经给予我们的一切。
That's love, that's appreciation.
而这就是爱，这就是我们的感恩之情。
Okay, thank you.
OK, 谢谢你的问题。 OK, all are answered from last week. Now today's question.
Okay.
Only one so far.
Okay.
我们来看今天问的这个问题是二零组的阳光灿烂这位奉献者问，顶拜咕噜的莲花族，感谢翻译，谢谢。请问我们的感官心意都是 Krishna 控制者，可不可以理解为 Krishna 通过我们的躯体展示在物质世界的消失光呢？So this devotee is offering his or her businesses unto you and asking that since our senses and mind are controlled by Krishna, so could we understand like this, that Krishna is manifesting his lila, his pastime in this material world through our bodies?
Well, that is one perspective, yes.
是的，确实可以这样来理解，这是我们可以这样去看这样的一种一个视角，一个角度。
In fact, the material creation is called Sharshti Lila.
Sharshti Lila.
Means his pastime of creation.
所以说这个物质创造的话呢，还被称为叫做 Sharshti Lila， 意思也就是指Krishna 的创造的逍遥时光。
And if we look at, you know, creation, it's continually evolving, and it's all, it can only happen because of, you know, Krishna's power, Krishna's creative power.
如果我们去观察整个这个物质世界的造物的话呢，就会发现所有的这些创造物，神的造物都是在不断进化着的，而这些所有的生命体，所有的这些物质事物之所以能够进化，都是由于 Krishna 的创造性的力量。
And everything is a manifestation of the modes of material nature, and he's the cause. He's the cause of the causes.
所有的一切之所以得以展现，那都是由于物质世界、物质自然三属性的这样一个结果，使得任何的一切得以展现的。而这个源头的话呢，那就是 Krishna 的，因为 Krishna 是万源之源。
And creation itself is very mysterious. And
而创造本身是非常非常神秘的。
And everything is going on, even in our own mind and body, really beyond our will.
甚至在我们的身体里面所发生的一切，我们的身体当中所发生的一切，什么细胞啊、组织啊、器官啊等等，这些东西在发生着，他们在发生的这些事儿，都是超过了我们的控制之外的。
And in fact, to understand that is a major realization.
事实上能够明白这一点，可 算是一种主要的一种重大的觉悟了。嗯，能够明白这一点是一种极大的觉悟了。
I'd like to read you a verse 19 of chapter 14 of Bhagavad Gita.
嗯，我现在想跟你读一读《博迦梵歌》14章19诗节。
And Krishna says something very similar to this verse, you know, probably 4 or 5 other times in different areas of the Bhagavad Gita. It's not just once.
嗯，实际上 Krishna 在这个诗节当中所说到的内容和他在《博迦梵歌》的其他地方，大概有4个5个地方都谈到过相似的或者同样的这个意思。
Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashta nupashati gunebhyascha param vete madbhavam so digashanti. One who properly sees that in all activities no other performer is at work than these modes of nature. And he knows the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental to all these modes. He attains my spiritual nature.
14.19 当人正确地认识到在所有活动之中除了这些自然形态外再无其他活动者，而且知道至尊主超越于这些形态之上时，即可到达我的灵性本性。
Yeah, so, you know, this material creation is also the Lord's Leela, and it's inconceivable.
所以说这个物质世界的创造也是 Krishna 的 Leela, Krishna 的消失光，是我们难以去inconceivable, 是我们难以去想象的。
Yeah, it's all going on, but, you know, we don't understand how.
这一切都在进行着，发生着，但是我们却并不理解为什么。
Okay, is that it?
Okay, yeah, that's it.
Good job, Narayani. Thank you so much. And I thank all the devotees for listening today, and I also thank Samuki Radha doing her regular service every Saturday without fail, just like you.
这顾玛吉就说感谢今天来聆听讲课的奉献者们，同时也感谢 Smoky Radha Mata 吉能够每个星期六照样服务，然后一次都没失败过。哦，有个sorry 顾玛吉， there's just one question popping up. You want to answer?
Okay.
Okay. 好，我们来看刚刚发上来的这个问题。Ramananda Das， Ramananda Prabhu 问，顶拜孤鲁，请问人一生所有的活动经历和最终目标是否就是为了改进和提升意识知觉？意识知觉不同，所有事情发展出来的结局就一定不一样，是不是？人生所要经历的一切苦难、挫折和纠结，是否也是我们每个人注定要参与的、不可避免的一场库鲁柴陀战争呢？哦、oh, ，So Ramananda Das, Prabhu is offering his obeisances onto you and asking that.So all the activities and experiences and the ultimate goal of a person throughout his lifetime is to elevate and improve his consciousness, right? That's the first question. And the second one is that different levels, different consciousness lead to different results, right? And then the third one is that all the suffering and obstacles and entanglements that a person has to experience throughout the lifetime is also what every one of us is destined to engage in the inevitable Kurukshetra war, right?
Yes. Yes to all.
您问到的这三个问题，顾瑞回答都是是的。
Yes, I mean, yeah, human beings are evolving in consciousness, and some are more mature than others.
是的，人类是不断的在知觉意识中进化着的。有些人类的话呢，要比另外一些人类是更加进步。
And ultimately, we're all learning. The major lesson we're learning is that we're not independent of God.
嗯，而我们要领悟到的一个重大的课题就是，我们并不能独立于至尊主而存在。
But we are servants of God or co-creators.
而我们是主的仆人，我们和主一起共同创造。
And so as we mature, we start to utilize our free will properly or in the service of the Lord as opposed to serving the selfish ego.
嗯，而随着我们逐渐成熟起来，我们就能得以去运用自由意志，去恰当的运用自由意志来对主进行服务，而不是来服务我们自私的假我。
So just as you know, a human being grows from a baby to a mature adult, human beings are also growing and maturing in consciousness.
就正如小婴儿逐渐成长为成熟的成年人，同样的，人类的知觉也是在不断的成长着的。
Yeah, so our lowest identity is this ego identity that's completely selfish, like an animal.
我们最低的人类知觉就是假我的知觉，就完全是和动物一样，极度的自私。
Then as we spiritually mature, our identity ultimately is that I am a servant of Krishna, and I'm the servant of all living beings.
而随着我们在灵性上逐渐成熟起来，我们便能觉悟到自己的真正身份是 Krishna 的仆人，并且也是众生的仆人。
And then we realize that God has already given me everything, that life itself is complete, so there's no need for competition.Or domination.
Domination, competition. 而后话我们也会觉悟到，神其实已经给予了我们一切，因为生命就是一切，生命的本身就是完整的。当我们觉悟到这一点的时候，就会感到自己不会再想要去竞争，不会再想要去让自己处于强势，处于控制之中。
That would be heaven on earth.
而当我们到达这样的觉悟的时候，那就是heaven on earth, 地球上的天堂了。
Or as Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, the highest form of matured consciousness attainable is verse 54, chapter 18.
然后而这就是人间的天堂了，或者是在《博迦梵歌》18章15诗节当中所提到的。这个成熟知觉的最高形式。
We would say this is a real adult.
我们可以说这个18章15诗节所描述的就是一个真正的成熟的人了。
Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Nasoshati Nakshati Samasarvesha Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhateparam. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful.He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me.
So, Rumaji, 18th chapter, which verse? chapter.
Yeah.
Chapter 18, 54, 54诗节，处在这超然境界的人，立即能觉悟到至尊梵，变得全然喜乐。他绝不会哀伤，也不会欲求什么。对每一生物，他都一视同仁。在这种状态下，他达到为我做纯粹奉爱服务的境界。
Yeah, so, you know, we have the law of karma, the universal laws of the Lord, and gradually...After many lifetimes, the living being learns to utilize his free will properly by surrendering to the will of the Lord.
Sorry, Gumaji, what's the first sentence? The law of...
The law of nature, the law of the Lord, the law of karma. You know, it's a teacher. It teaches us that we're responsible for all the choices we make.
I see. 所以说的话呢，这个物质世界的法则，或者是至尊主所制定的法则，或者是业报的法则，就像是老师一样在教导我们，来教导我们要真正的去明白自己要为自己所做的一切承担起责任。那么在经历了许许多多的身世之后，我们就能最终得以去学会，能够通过臣服于至尊主来恰当的运用自己的自由意志。
Yeah, because we are one and different.
因为我们所有都是即一即义的。
So what is really good for all is good for one, and what is good for one is good for all.
因此对于所有生命来说都是好的事物，那么对于一个人来说也是好的。那么对于一个人来说是好的事物的话，对于所有的生命体来说呢，都是好的。
Yeah, so ultimately, we want to use our free will, in the service of the Lord and all living beings, and realizing that if I hurt someone, I'm actually just hurting myself.
所以说归根结底，我们想要去运用自己的自由意志来服务至尊主，并且服务众生，并且能够去觉悟到我们对其他生命所造成的伤害，实际上也是在对自己造成伤害。
Because we're all equal children of God.
因为我们所有生命都是神的平等的仆人，平等的孩子。
So as we evolve in consciousness after many lifetimes, we finally realize that.
因此在经历了许许多多的生生世世之后，我们最终知觉得以进化到这样的觉悟了。
Right, then our service is done here.
Our service is done here.
Yeah.
那么到这一刻的时候，我们在这地球上，我们在这里的服务就完成了，完结了。
Right. Krishna says there's two types of living beings, the fallible and the infallible.
Krishna 说生物体分为两类，一类是犯错的生物体，另一类是不犯错的生物体。
He said every being in the spiritual world is infallible, and every being in this material world is fallible.
所以他就说到灵性世界当中的每一个生物体都是不犯错的。而物质世界当中的生命体都是会犯错误的。
Okay, I know a couple of questions came in, but I'm out of time now.
我不是说还有问题发上来，但是他现在时间已经不够了。
So how many came in?
Two more.
Okay, so we'll put those on the shelf for next week.
所以今天剩下的两个问题的话呢，就麻烦两位问问题的奉献者等到下个星期了。
Thank you very much for your questions and your comments. I really enjoy your enthusiasm.
非常感谢大家的提问和评论呐，和分享啊。然后咕噜说对你们的这个积极参与，他感到是很倍感鼓舞的。
Okay, so thank you all. God bless you all.And all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Srimad Bhagavad Gita.
非常感谢大家，所有的荣耀都归于帕帕，所有的荣耀都归于圣典般若梵歌。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Gumarai. 今天的早课到此结束，感谢大家的参与。Hare Krishna.